Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful. Welcome. It is May 15th, 2025, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. You know who I am, but do you know why I'm here? No, you know why we're here. We're here to talk about Impact. We just told you at the top of the show. With me always, the one and only professional ride or die, Cressa Starr's here. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here with you guys. My hair is doing what it wants. I lost the light, but you guys and Joel Pearl are the light of my lives, and TNA and something else inspirational.
Do you believe? Is that what we're going to?
I believe in Joe Hendry. Clap, clap. And this girl is a paid actor. Clap, clap.
That's all good. But also good over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business. Plenty of that to come. If you want some scoops, some news, is Cody going to sell his soul? Oh, we got the news for you over on FightfulSelect.com. And also some UK indie news and plenty more. The Weekender Podcast with Steven Jensen, who hosts these pay-per-view post shows with us. So that's like four times a year, because the plus shows are usually Cresta and I if we decide to do one. And Sour Graps, of course, with Alex and Kate. And Sean does a Q&A. There's plenty, plenty, plenty to nom onto over on FightfulSelect.com. So this show, of course, brought to you by that. Lots to talk about, but not really, because TNA Impact tonight was just kind of there. What did you think? What do you think overall, Cresta?
I was whelmed. Not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, but I was simply whelmed. It was a show that occurred.
You have one more show before Under Siege. They've announced a couple more matches. Is this a show that you are looking forward to, or just kind of say, oh, it's there?
The latter. I mean, I was kind of into it. I was like, meh, maybe. But then there were some matches made tonight, one in particular that I'm like, you know what? No thanks.
Boy, I wonder what that match could be as we talk about the opening contest tonight on the show. Let's just jump right in. First of all, I said it once, I'll say it a billion times. Stop counting the steps in your entrance. Stop it. Stop it. Stop taking the steps and then counting how many times you need to do the roundhouse kick. Stop singing the song to your theme. I saw it. Not just the one I'm talking about, Indy. You did it too. Stop it. Stop it. You can practice. Practice your intro. That's fine. Stop counting the steps. If I can physically see you, and if I can see your brain turning and you're counting the steps in your head, stop it. Stop it. Tessa Blanchard and Victoria Crawford defeat Masha Slamovic and Nikita Lyons via disqualification. Tessa brings in a chair. Masha gets the chair, uses it on both Victoria and Tessa. And then Santina comes out as Nikita Lyons is upset with Masha about using the chair. I had this. And Masha's like, look, no, you didn't. They're dumb. Santino's like, we'll restart the match. And then Robert Stone throws cold water on that, says the DQ stands. And that's the end of that chapter. I don't have much to say about this match. They opened, they did it, and there's more that comes afterwards. But let's talk about the match if you have anything to add.
I didn't even know there was a match.
Later on, Ariana Grace, I'm always close to saying Grande. Ariana Grace is backstage, and Tessa walks up, says something, and then slaps Ariana on the arm. Supposed to be the face, but here we are. And then at Under Siege, they announced Tessa Blanchard versus Ariana Grace.
You know, when I get sports upset, sports enraged, I outlet that through song. And there's a song by Michael Jackson that perfectly encapsulates why this is a match. Why is this a match, TNA? Why would you do us this way? Like, I watch every Thursday. Why would you do me like this? Yeah, you know, it's gonna happen. And I, you know, what can I do?
The only saving grace, the only thing that would save this, if you make it a mixed tag, do Tessa and Robert Stone against Ariana and Santino. That's the only way that I'm just like, all right, I can handle this. But whatever this is, if this is a singles bout, Ariana Grace does not wrestle more than four times a year, five times a year. Tessa is Tessa. We've made our feelings known. There's just no reason for it. And chat's mentioning there's no reason for Robert Stone to be here. They still have not established who he works for outside of NXT and what he represents in the TNA sphere of putting Santino on notice or whatever this is.
I'll be real with you. At this point, I kind of want to see Robert Stone versus Santino because I don't like the way he's been talking to Santino. And I get that Santino messes people's names up, but I'd rather see that. The mixed tag is still kind of like, I've never heard of Ariana Grace to wrestle. I thought they were going to say, well, she's going to wrestle. And then Tessa was going to like beat her up and then they're going to put someone else in. Jordan Grace? Oh, but it shouldn't happen, but that's just me. And I can admit when I'm being biased, and I'm being biased.
By the way, if you want to support this show, I should probably let you know right now, leave a thumbs up on the video. That's a great way. That's the free 99 way. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and subscribe to our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked, where there's plenty of content, including In the Weeds 5 days a week. That's a show that I host with Jeremy Lambert. SP3 joins as well. That's Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern. That's on Fightful Overbooked, our sister channel. So give that a subscribe and this channel. And of course, a super chat. Any amount, get your question statement run on the air, and it supports us on this channel. Cressa can also tell you about the Humper Chats and why and all that.
If you go over to humperchats.com, not only will you get your comment read on air, you can join us in the conversation. We get to keep a little bit more of your donation. Any dollar amount in the box will do. It's humperchats.com. How to be? How to do?
I like the part where you did the do.
I'm doing it right now.
They are announcing more matches for the show that are just getting big head scratches from me. Before we even continue, someone had pointed out in the chat, and it is official, the Elegances are going to defend the Knockouts World Tag Team Championships, or as TNA has written, the TNA Knockouts World Championships. Guess who they're going to defend them against?
I'm reading the chat and it says Spitfire.
You buy it, yes.
Which doesn't make any sense because didn't they just lose their rematch?
They lost the rematch. They got pinned. It's almost as if they realized Jody Threat's available and local, and she's also going to face Tessa at that border brawl bullshit they're doing. So just got to. Sorry, y'all. I'm not crashing out over TNA. I'm just really not. I am so unsure of what they think they're doing with this next few days.
I mean, I've seen people on wrestling internet and other places crash out. This is not a crash out. This is a very measured, deep uncle sigh of a low-key disappointment. But what can I do? This is what you've chosen in life, my young man. All I can do is support you because it's not like you're doing drugs. You know what I mean?
They won me back. I'm just going to trust me. We did an interview with Macklin on Wednesday on In the Weeds, and we kept talking about the roofying segment with Eric Young, mm-hmm. and he kept referring to it as Cosbying, and I just,
oh my god,
that's him.
That's not funny. Why am I laughing?
He said it three times, and every time I was like, no one's stepping in here. All right, we're just gonna let this go. It's all in jest. He was the one getting roofied on the show. Not important. Let's just move on.
Wrestling. How can I explain this to my friends?
The first question that came up was like, why didn't you fall into the fire? Let's just keep going. Cody Deaner. They do the sit down. They do the background on Deaner. And this is the first time where I looked at this match and I said, okay, it's a hometowner match. I get it. And I've said this on the show before. This is the first time I've been a little bit more bought into at least the Deaner side of things when it comes to this particular match. Mm-hmm. However, I'm more interested in the Edward Edwards side of this, because all we know is that Deaner has to beat Edward Edwards, who is a decorated multi-time champion in TNA and technically is better than Deaner in every single way. What does Eddie Edwards get out of this if he beats Deaner? That's what I'm waiting to hear from. But I thought this was a really good sit down with Deaner and Hannifin tonight.
It was. This is something that I have praised TNA on doing before, that when they do their sit down interviews, especially with Tom Hannifin, there's a certain seriousness. They give respect to the person's background. We've seen this with Mike Santana. We've seen this with Steve Maclin. And now we're seeing this again with Deaner. It's one of those things where it's like, damn, I don't want you to lose in front of your kid. I don't want you to lose in front of your family either. They really put over that this man is a family man, and even more than winning and losing, he don't want to look his son in the face and be like, I lost. Yikes, I'm sorry. You know? So I am excited to see this just a little bit, but I agree with you. What does Eddie Edwards get out of this, whether he wins or loses? You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, I expect Eddie Edwards to win and be a piece of crap about it, because it's some system shenanigans.
And the system are going to be in the main event next week. It's going to be Moose and Myers taking on Elijah and Joe Hendry. I don't know if Edward Edwards is going to be involved in that, but I'm still hoping for next week to do some sort of sit down with Eddie Edwards, maybe explain his role in this match and what he gets from this, something. Because I think the Deaner thing explained it well. Again, the idea here is that he is from Ontario. He is from this province, and he is also not too far a drive away from home. So like, there is a certain amount of people who will be absolutely in his corner, and that's good enough. But there needs to be more, mm-hmm. at least for the crowd at home, who aren't from Toronto, Brampton, Ontario, anything like that, that gets them bought into what this match means for both men. Other than, well, Deaner obviously is, if he wins, he continues on as a wrestler on the card, I guess. Is that's kind of what it is?
No, I get what you're saying. I feel like in this particular match, there's kind of like, how do I describe it in a sense where it's... You're rewarded if you watch TNA, and this is one of those matches where you're being rewarded for watching TNA and knowing the history of both these men. But I think the crux ultimately becomes what happens going forward after these guys, because Eddie Edwards losing to Deaner, the system is not going to have that. And does this mean Deaner's done? Is this his retirement match? It could be.
It's like I said, Deaner in 2025 is not as impressive in a wrestling ring as he was mm-hmm. even 5 years ago. It's not a knock on Deaner. It's just that he has other portfolios in TNA that keep him busy, and he's not a main focus on the card. If this is his kind of farewell, if this is his, I want to go out, you know, at home and have a great match, because Eddie can bring anyone to a great match. Mm-hmm. Not that Deaner even needs the extra help. It's just, true. If this is the way that Deaner decided this is it for me, cool. That I can deal with. But if this is Deaner suddenly gets a win and he's back on the roster as an active competitor that we still don't see very often, then it's kind of like, well, what are we doing here? You know, and it becomes in service of Eddie Edwards and his position in the system.
I do think, unfortunately, I think that's what's going to end up happening here. It might be in service of Eddie Edwards and the system. And I think that's okay. Like I said, to your point as well, Deaner has really been more behind the scenes now. And when we do see him on screen, the people tell him to fight and he dies.
Yeah, like people are saying in the chat, it's a thank you for contributions match. I'm fine with this being Deaner's last match. Mm-hmm. The curtain call, the thank you, I'm still backstage. That's fine, because Deaner deserves that. I did an interview with Deaner a couple of years ago. I learned more from him than I ever had before, and he's a great mind for wrestling. But it's like I said when they introduced this match, I said, why in 2025 are we giving Deaner a plus match or just like a feature match? What is this in service of? Mm-hmm. If it's to say goodbye and this is the end of his in-ring career, I will say, this is great. That's the way it should be. Let's move on.
Even if it's goodbye for a little bit, you know what I mean? Because even if he wants to do like something that builds up to Mickie James last rodeo. I'd be okay with that. So you get like a little run. And then you go, you know, do Diener things, do Cousin Diener things. I don't know. You know what I mean? So I'd be okay too if he does. But if he wins, give him something, let him do something. And then when he eventually loses, you know what I mean? Because that's the way they're building it up. Like he's about to retire.
He ain't going to beat Moose for the X Division Championship, tell you that much.
Tell you that, huh?
The Great Hands defeat the Rascals. Ali gets involved, distracts by having words with Tasha Steele as the Great Hands hit their favor finisher, which, by the way, I've said it before, I'll say it here because we see it so seldom. It's a great tag team finish. It looks good. It's effective. I like it. Trey gets pinned. After the match, Ali and the Great Hands bait down the Rascals. Ace Austin makes the save. And then we won't get into the next match, but I will say my favorite thing when it comes to wrestling is when stories intertwine and when the matches intertwine with the story as well. You have Ace Austin come out to make the save. And then during the break, Ace Austin confronts Ali, gets blindsided and beat down by the Great Hands. Ali takes out Ace's leg. And then Ace has to compete in the number one contendership match that comes afterwards. I liked that. I liked the match. Simple, effective. I feel like the tag division in TNA is still in its rebuilding phase. But I do like this match because the Rascals are great. The Great Hands are, I'm not going to say great because then I'm just using their tag team name. They're effective. I thought it was a good match. Your thoughts?
I thought the match itself was fine. I will say tonight I was very sports entertained by the tag matches that we saw, except for the first one that I didn't see. Also, too, Ali coming out looking like he's had a hard night of drinking, looking for the Batman. I thought that was a nice touch. I really thought that was a nice touch. Ali also being disheveled, being a mess, ruining people's matches. I think it is great in this sense for Order 4 to have something to do. So when there is eventually that Ali Santana run back, they're preoccupied. So it could really be one-on-one. Because later on in the show, too, we see Indy Hartwell interrupted by Tasha Steele being rude as hell. And I like that idea. I do. I truly like that idea. The match itself was fine. I do like when they taught, when Trey got tossed into Hotch and it was set up for the spine buster. It was tossed into Hotch, into the spine buster, and then they set it up for the feed to the Lions. But that's, I think, when Ali came out to be a jerk. This match, my only complaint is that too much was happening. So my notes were like, Jesus Christ. So it looks like a ransom letter. So I won't be showing you that.
You gotta start taking notes on a computer or something.
I don't type that fast. We have this conversation all the time. I literally type with six fingers.
I'm telling you, all you gotta use is all the right type and learn how to type.
What if I just started doing this? No, that'd be worse because literally I watch Russell like, oh, he's dying. Oh my God.
Why don't you get like a tablet and a pencil thing?
You know, that sounds smart. Guys, donate $444 so I can get a tablet, right?
Facebook Marketplace is a great place to look.
What? I don't go on that application, sir.
While I was watching Dynamite last night, I've been trying to find an M1 MacBook because it's time to upgrade. And I'm not going to buy full price because I think it's ridiculous. But I love going on Facebook Marketplace because I can find a deal. However, I'm finding a lot of people are like, M1 MacBook for sale. This is Canadian dollars. Keep in mind when I use these numbers, you know, $700. Everything's perfect. It's in excellent condition. Da, 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 da. Oh, by the way, the screen's cracked. Don't know how that happened. Oh, and also the Apple store said it has liquid damage. Don't know how that happened. But for $700, it's yours and you can get the new parts. I'm like, I will not pay you any of this. Or my favorite is someone's like, it's great condition. It's fine. It is good condition. Or maybe there's a scratch, dent, whatever. I don't care. I don't care about scratches and dents as long as the screen works and the keyboard works. Mm-hmm. Like the little cosmetic dents, fine. But then when they're like, oh, I want X amount. And I'm like, okay. They say lowballers ignored, but willing to negotiate on price. And then I'll go in $100 under their price, expecting them to say, you know, I counter with this. And instead I just get no. Or $5 less than their actual amount. And it's like, you don't have room to wiggle. You're just being an asshole.
Yeah. So why would you say that?
It's just silly.
And it's broken. What are you doing?
Yeah. Sorry. People replying to the knockouts tag title thing saying like, it's a contractual rematch. I'm like, no, we did that already.
They already did that.
That was the pay-per-view, baby. It's come and gone. This is just the Jody's from Toronto contract.
Damn.
Anyway, long story short, Facebook Marketplace is great, but don't don't listen to people when they tell you things are fine, because they're not fine. Everything's broken and it sucks.
That's Facebook. That's what I love. Everything's broken and it sucks.
Lowball everybody, though. If they want 7, you tell them 4.
How about I give you 3 and a hug?
That's fine. So someone's like, hey, I got an M2 MacBook for $650, but it's broken. I'm like, anyway, number one contender international championship. Matt Cardona defeats Elijah, Ace Austin, and Mance Warner. I still love that, like, we knew that Elijah was in the main event Under Siege. And while they didn't say officially that this match was going to happen at Under Siege, it certainly felt like this number one contendership was for the match at Under Siege. Mm-hmm. Regardless, a very fun match. They did a good job focusing on Ace's leg. I thought Steph DeLander and Matt Cardona having a little interaction was good. You know, Steph took the chair from Matt Cardona, gave it to Mance, which was great. But really, the standout here was Elijah. He had a really strong showing in this match. The jumping knee on Cardona when he came off the middle rope was solid. And then the Highwayman's farewell on the chair to Mance Warner. Thought that was really good stuff. End of the day, Cardona and Ace go back and forth. Ace can't hit the fold because his knee's hurting. Cardona hits the Sack Rider, gets the win.
I have to say a few things before I get into my actual analysis. TNA cameraman for this match, whoever edited it, you did the Lord's work, because I was very sports entertained during this match. If you don't know what I mean, then I'm not telling you. Secondly, I gotta say, Elijah looks so fit. His body is, I don't know if this is the right shape, literally an isosceles triangle. This guy looks like this. Like, he looks so good. Like, all due respect. Like, you could tell he works on his body, and he looks very good. Like you said, this was an expose, showcase for Elijah. He looked good doing the old school up on the ropes. Like you said, that flying knee looks stiff as hell. Matt Cardona getting the win here. It's kind of feeling like, do you want your first intro in a title match with someone you don't know? Matt Cardona. And Matt Cardona will come and get that check every time. Every time. And I live. Matt Cardona is becoming the new Jeff Jarrett. You get your check, sir. Get your check.
It's good stuff. And again, Cardona is, he's so easy to work with and he's so easy to do this stuff with. He's going to go on, have the match with Macklin at Under Siege, which is a match that I am looking forward to. Honestly, all 4 of these men as an option for Macklin looked good. Cardona makes the most sense. I think it's going to be a really fun match. And, you know, all Macklin has to do is bleed a little bit and Cardona will lose.
I mean, also not for nothing, Matt Cardona is that type of person, whether you bleed or you want to do sports entertainment, I'm always ready. Pun unintended, I'm always ready.
Yeah, that's true. Although now he's The Complete, which I'd like to understand more about why he calls himself that.
There's a joke and a segue in there to a Blue Chew ad, but far be it for me to say it.
First Class Penthouse. This happened. Casey Navarro again stands out. The man rules. He clowns so perfectly. And he just doesn't care. He just wants to look. He just wants to do everything in service of the bit. And I appreciate that. Him starting to do Not Like Us and do it, just sing it. It was so stupid and so fantastic at the same time. They should talk LA. O'Shea Jackson Jr. joins up. He doesn't like it, but he's wearing a First Class shirt. And he's like, hey, thanks for the free merch. But like, why you should talk in LA? This is my set, my town. And then Santana comes out. First Class runs off. O'Shea Jackson Jr. and Santana hug. Added to Under Siege, Mike Santana versus AJ Francis. This is one of those, remember we talked, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Well, this is one where he giveth, because Santana AJ Francis sounds like fun.
Man.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it's common. But we are going to provide you with that solution via Hims.com/Fightful. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that all work from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little to 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor's visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment was sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Every time I want to get mad at first class, I have to remember their gimmick is corn on the cob. And that's just what it is. This was so corny. It was so corny to the point I was sports entertained. I hate it. What I did like is the Timu Suge Knight joke. I did like the Uncle Phil to the Jazzy Jeff, which honestly, with all due respect to Mr. AJ Francis, you are a tall, built man. But O'Shea is built like a brick. You're not picking that man up. Maybe KC Navarro. Also, like you said, KC Navarro in service of the bit. Hot take. It's borderline R-Truth levels. You don't care, but you care, but you don't care. Like, he started singing goodbye. Like, you know, get out of here, bro. Like that's something R-Truth would do. Like, okay, I'm about to die. Like,
I think people have realized by now that KC is very good at this. I think a lot of people have also come to understand that he is willing to, you know, to show ass for this. And he can back it up in the ring. That's kind of the best part of all this, is that he's very well-rounded as a character, as a performer, and he's a great entertainer. And
yeah,
I say this as someone who has had a few conversations with him in interview format, and he gives a shit. That's really what it comes down to, is that he cares not only about what he's doing, but he cares about the quality of the performance and the quality of the people that he works with. And So that's why this revamped First Class has been working, at least for me, because we talk about AJ Francis and we talk about, you know, what's working, what's not. And with KC, it just feels like every week we're just like, he keeps standing out and it's good.
No, absolutely. One of the things I will give First Class is, like, you talk about it more so than I have because you've, like, interviewed these gentlemen. But I will say that the aura that they do care, you can relax and say that they don't care. You know what I mean? And in that regard, too, there's nothing that they do that other competitors, besides AEW, because AEW don't have talk shows, segments from what I've seen, maybe Renee every now and then. This is the same as a KO show, same as Miz TV. You know, it's meant to be funny. It is meant to be not taken seriously, but also take it seriously. Because one thing AJ Francis and KC Navarro will do is, you're laughing, but next week I got a match with Santana. The week after that, I'm about to go fight Macklin. The week after that, I'm about to go fight Joe Hendry. So we're laughing, we're tee-heeing, but these guys are also tee-heeing their way into a title shot. So I give them the respect that they get, but I also have to remember, this is sports entertainment. These guys are sports entertainment. Please don't take it that
No,
it's funny. It's meant to be funny.
It is. And what they do typically makes sense in terms of the story. And so for that, it's like, again, they're clowns, but they're clowns who talk their way into different situations, like the ones
clowns
you just
purpose.
Yeah, yeah. The clowns with purpose. I think that's a really good way to put it. Indy Hartwell defeats Kelsey Heather. It's a squash. Indy's finish is called the Hertz Donut, which is great. And really, there's nothing else to add other than the post-match, like you mentioned. She tries to cut a promo backstage, but she's interrupted by Tasha Steelz. And that looks like a match that we might see.
I am going to reserve my judgment because I don't think I've really seen Indy Hartwell wrestle for real, for real. And to me, this match was a squash. So I don't think this is fair. You know what I mean? There's eventually brewing a Tasha Steelz moment. But just Indy's height alone, there is space for another big woman. And she was doing a lot of power spots from what I've seen. So once she gets comfortable, whatever it is, and we get like an actual match instead of a squash. But I like that. I like the presentation. I like the music. I like the gear.
Yeah. And again, I just don't sing the song on your way to the ring. It's just one or two lines is fine. Just don't sing the whole thing.
Indy doing a good job. Indy doing a good job.
Yeah, I just don't want her to do it either. I don't want people to think that I'm just ribbing on Nikita Lyons the whole time, because there are other people who do it too. yeah. The Tasha Steelz, the inevitable Tasha and Indy match, that feels like they might do it on the countdown to Under Siege, or they'll do it at the tapings the next night for TV.
I would more bet the tapings for next night, because, you know, that was another match. You're going to build a match in 2 weeks? I mean, well, they pre-tape this.
They would.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
What are we at this point? Are we at 8 matches? No, because there were only 3 when this whole thing started. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we can add one more. Probably should, considering some of these matches.
How many are going to be on the pre-show?
Oh, they haven't officially announced Cardona versus Macklin. So maybe that's the 8th match. And usually they do 1 or 2 on the pre-show.
All right, well, I saw someone in the chat saying someone else would add 6 more. I'm like, this is TNA. They could add 15 more. This would still be 2 hours.
Oh, no, they'll do 2 and 2.5 for that one.
This will still be 2 or 3 hours. You know what I mean? This will still be, yeah, other places it'll be 90 hours. This, no, we're ending in 3 at the most. That's happening.
Listen, the person who said, they said Tony Khan would add 6 more. And it's true. Tony will add 6 more between now and Double or Nothing. But I'd also like to know where I'll be able to watch Double or Nothing, because they haven't officially put it up on Triller. They haven't put it up on YouTube. It's on pay-per-view.com. It's on Prime Video. I'm not going to watch it there. Like, it's just not in the usual places. So some of us are just waiting. And I, and before y'all jump on me, I am a Canadian. So my options are not the same as some of you U.S. people.
Wow. First of all, we're going through a really rough time right now.
No, that's why I don't know where you are. Vegas was a one-time deal. I ain't going across the border for another 2 years.
I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing.
Rosemary defeats Xia Brookside by disqualification. Rosemary's trying to get Xia to cheat. She gives Xia the brass knuckles. Xia refuses to use them or to be antagonized. Rosemary gets the knuckles, puts them on Xia Brookside, headbutts her. Eventually, she goes nuts to Xia Brookside, shoves the referee, gets DQ'd, and then Ling Li comes out, makes the save. Xia Brookside is absolutely going to turn on Ling Li. Now it has been cemented. She got her taste of heel blood, whatever. There was the misting. Now it's going to happen.
I have to tell you, Xia hitting that throat chop on Rosemary was chef's kiss. I thought that was the funniest thing, the best wrestling thing, because Rosemary was like, I'm about to spit on this, bro. She's like, you are. That was great. But I will say, poor Xia. Xia has the same problem Sky Blue had, the same problem Julia had, and even the same problem Cody had for a long time. You look sweet as pie. You want to do what? Knock it off. Go be somebody. They look very sweet. Blue eye, white meat, baby face. Like, this is the guy that you like. If you're a good guy, I believe it. So I'm interested to see her. I'm like, well, we haven't had someone in the undead realm in a while. Taya gone. Where's Havoc? Havoc on the back of a milk carton. You know what I mean? So maybe 1 or 2 more. Where's Crazy? Crazy Steve went crazy and left them. Black Tor Roots is gone. You know, so maybe have her baptized, not in the lake of reincarnation, but in the shadow realm, you know?
He's over in the NWA these days. Doing cocaine off of things. It's not real cocaine. It's not. Anyway.
The wrestler.
Well, you know, Frankie Kazarian comes out. He basically says, I didn't lose at Rebellion. Joe Hendry can't beat me. And then he brings out Trick Williams. And I'm like, oh, thank God, we're going to finally get the interaction. It wasn't very much. Basically, Trick just said, oh, we don't like each other, but we also both want respect and we both don't like Joe Hendry. And then he say his name, he appears. Joe Hendry comes out, Elijah joins in. They tease doing it now. Santino says yes. Robert Stone overrules him again. Who the hell does Robert Stone work for is, again, the question of this entire segment. I hope, Cresta, that on Tuesday, because I know you saw the promo for this, Joe Hendry's going to do another concert, but it's because of course he is. Because there's a time for serious and there's a time for concerts, and he's got to do the concert now because he's no longer serious about whatever this is with Trick. And Trick's going to do a rap thing. I really hope that Frankie Kazarian brings his bass to NXT and basically gives a beat for Trick Williams.
At that point, just have Elijah playing backup guitar. Like, you got four bards in the ring doing, I don't know.
Yes. Let's go.
I mean, okay. Let's talk about what I said before. At this point, it needs to be Robert Stone versus Santino. Because Robert Stone is getting on my mother-loving nerves every time I turn around. Also, tonight, that man's whole suit was pink. That was the pinkiest pink suit I've ever seen. Pink. That suit was very pink. It was tailored. It was nice. But it was that pink was yelling at me. I don't know what we're doing here with Frankie Kazarian. I was like, he lost. That's it. He's out of the picture. He refuses to die. In the true fashion of TNA, he refuses to die. So I guess. Robert Stone, this whole coalition with him, Victoria Crawford, and Tessa Blanchard, what the hell are y'all doing here? You don't belong here. What's happening? Who do you work for? At this point, it's got to be Dixie Carter. It's got to be. It's got to be. Because the way you sabotage it is, or Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett, the curse of Jeff Jarrett is back to get us.
I hope it's JBL. Sure as shit, don't need to play that one again.
Yo, that'd be an incredibly TNA thing to do. And you say that, and just my mind is like, I need sports entertained. If JBL came out and he was the higher up, nothing means nothing, and you have too many canoopers in the back, pal.
that came out of our chat with Macklin too, because we were like, hey, you're holding an international championship. Are you going to defend it internationally? And he's like, well, yeah, I'd like to. I've pitched doing that. And also he's like, you know, Triple A, they're bringing in a bunch of TNA talent to go work the big show. And he's not there. He's like, I guess I'm not in the cards, but I'd like to be. Da, da, da. And Jeremy and I were like, well, just go there. Just show up. He's like, who's going to pay my trans? I'm like, what does it matter? JBL just shows up every time for your shows. And he's like, ah, that's a good point. Maybe I should just show up. Like, just bring a donkey. You'll be fine. Walk your ass not to Mexico. Donkey. Why not?
Listen, if you don't bring a donkey, I'm sure Stokely Hathaway will dress up this one.
They said they showed the memorial placard for Sabu, and then they showed Sabu versus RVD from Hardcore Justice 2010. Taz is on commentary for that one, so a nice little tribute to Sabu while still doing their moment of the week. I thought that was a pretty good way for TNA to do their tribute to Sabu without having to like break in, reshoot, or anything like that. This worked out. It was a good little tribute to Sabu.
It was nice because I'm hearing Taz's voice, and this is Chris Peak Taz. And it's always so weird when I look at old footage of people like Rob Van Dam and Sabu and Sandman and whatnot. Because first of all, I'm expecting blood. So the fact that there was none, fantastic.
Oh, the back of the head.
Okay. Yeah. That's accepted, respectable amount of blood, not Macklin amount of blood, not a Cody Rhodes, you know. But I do think that it is nice that TNA has spanned so long and has had so many wrestlers that I feel like no matter what, where you are in your career, at some point you've walked through those TNA doors, and I don't want to hear no TNA slander. So it was very nice that they were able to have that type of footage. It'd be nice if at some point if all the companies could come together and do something for them, but I understand why that's not so.
Yeah, I think at this point you just got to be happy with everyone doing their thing, right? Whether that's a supercut or just saying something on the broadcast. Like, I think everyone has treated the death of Sabu respectfully,
yes,
and given time in their own way. I mean, Michael Cole did something on Raw. They talked about him. And then on AEW, obviously Taz spoke very, very well about their about the rivalry and their time together. TNA doing what they did tonight. I thought everyone's handled it very respectfully. And that's something that you hope to see. I think that's kind of the best of all situations.
Yeah.
Next week, Ace Austin takes on Mustafa Ali. Sami Callihan and Santana team up in the funniest thing ever to take on First Class. And I just realized I didn't ask Macklin if he hung out with John Goblikon.
You messing up. I thought you was a journalist.
I know. We were too busy having other conversations during this whole thing. Can't believe it. We had to talk about roofing. Santino and Robert Stone have a debate. And then Joe Hendry and Elijah take on Moose and Myers. That's next week's show. That's the go home to Under Siege. And Under Siege is Friday night. Probably won't do a post show. I don't know if I'm going to the show. I know I have an open invitation to attend. We'll see. Main event time. Are you ready?
This is the main event. Are you ready? Yes.
Getting your super chats, getting your humper chats. This is a quick one tonight because this show was not exactly full of news. All the newsworthy stuff happened literally on socials after the show. Jeff Hardy defeats Nick Nemeth in a match that was fine in 2009, and it was fine in 2025. Last time they met one-on-one, it was a three-minute hardcore match. This time, they gave him a little more time, and I think they still performed at a very high rate, and I respect both Hardy and Nemeth. Good back and forth, plenty of good stuff. Jeff gets the win with the Swanton Bomb. And then the big match, post-match stuff is Ryan Nemeth attacks the Hardys and Leon Slater makes the save. And exactly what I told you last week, Leon Slater is the tag team partner for Matt Hardy next Friday night. Hooray.
I can only think about what AJ Francis said about Leon Slater when he was like, I checked on Leon Slater. It's like, yo, you good? And he said, I'm a Hardy boy. That's all I can think of. I'm a Hardy boy, bro. That being said, you're not winning on Friday. Jeff got the win tonight. Be happy. Bye. I live. I'm very happy Jeff got the win. But I know what this is. I know what this is for. And Leon might eat the pin there, too. Oof. Welcome to the big leagues, pal.
He might not. Matt eats the pin sometimes. I think Matt could. I think in this case, because we're trying to build Leon and the Hardys are not, they're not selfish like that. Mm-hmm. I think this is one case where, and the Nemeths will probably cheat regardless to win. I can see Matt being pinned and letting Leon continue to be, you know, kept strong.
I would dare to say that even if Leon got pinned, I don't think it would hurt him. You can make the argument, yeah, you guys have been tagging together, but these guys are brothers. So you don't have that chemistry. Also, like you said, I know that you know that I know that the Nemeths are going to cheat. So while maybe Matt and Jeff would be ready for a cheating Nemeth, Leon still being young boy may not be. Not saying he's a young boy. I don't want to get beat up because I know the last people tried to young boy him. Please, I cannot fight. Don't beat me up. I'm soft. So I don't think it takes away from any momentum because it is a tag and it's not like, it's not his main thing. That's what I should say. It's not his main thing. So I don't think it's a problem and it still keeps the Hardy strong, but I agree with what you're saying too. The Hardys are known for, listen, we love the kids and you are the future. They're children.
We are the world. We are the, no, not doing this. We're done.
I want a record from WWE, AEW and TNA singing We Are the World in 7 different iterations on one CD album, and the profits could go to charity.
Profits go to Chris Bay.
Come on now. Listen, come on now. Y'all wouldn't want to do that. Come on now. That'd be great. Y'all could just all say We Are the World. You could do it in character too. Come on. And the profits go to Chris Bay. Come on now.
Next
we
week
are we'll... the Bay.
Stop it.
We are the ocean.
No, yeah, I was gonna say, we are the Bay. Sounds like you're about to do this for San Francisco.
We are Chris Bay.
Nope,
he is our ocean.
That's, now we're getting weird. Under siege.
I'm trying, man. Like, yeah. I'm smart. I'm trying. It's coming out like shit.
Yeah, it ain't working so well. Next week, we'll have the Under Siege breakdown. We'll talk about the whole card and what's going on. Again, it is a mixed bag of a card. Some stuff looks strong. Some stuff is questionable. I have some people in my mentions when I mention the elegances is Spitfire. My quote tweet just says, huh? And I have people just saying, this is a great match. I'm going to love it. It's going to be amazing. They can always, I'm like, no one's saying that the wrestlers can't wrestle. They can wrestle. That's not the problem here. The problem is we're just rehashing old news here. Let's move along. Literally anybody. You could have done, they don't have any more tag teams.
Yeah, come on now. That's the other problem. The Knockouts tag team division is very boneless at the moment. You've got the Elegances and Spitfire that they just tried to break up. And now Elegances are adding another girl who's definitely going to cheat the Spitfire out their boots. And then who's left?
Man, they probably should have just brought in an NXT tag team. But then I'm like, who are you going to bring in for that? Because you just fired most of them too.
Exactly. No, what is happening? I'm like, yo, why do we have the Metaphor girls do it? Oh, because you fired one of them. Okay, what about the other? No, because they're not there either. What are we? Where can I go? What if I want tag team wrestling? Where can I go?
Nowhere. Maybe MLW. Maybe MLW. WWE's tag division, no. The AEW tag division is starting to figure it out, but again, they're not anywhere near where they should be. This used to be the tag division. It's not there right now.
Literally, I feel like that meme. Where can I go for women's tag team? Nowhere. Then die. Like, okay. All right. See ya.
Anyway, we got through it. That's TNA for May 15th. Cresta, what you got going on?
We did this in 45, 205 live. It doesn't matter. Lakers in five.
We could have done this. By the way, well done. We could have done this in like 5 minutes if we took out half the shit. I talked about MacBooks, like buying a MacBook on Facebook.
You're like that Joe Henry song. Joe Purple, like, see you tonight. The end.
Pretty much. We talked, for Christ's sake, we just did a We Are the World Chris Bay thing. That was another 2 minutes.
Honestly, it's a good idea. I'm trying to help.
So was I with my Facebook.
Anywho, guys, if you want to find me, I'm Shenanin all over the internet. Everywhere you could type CRESTASTARR, Cresta Star, that's me. Let me mute so I can call.
Well played. Oh, wow, and an encore.
I'm getting sick and I don't like that. You can find me on Instagram, X, TikTok. I talk about wrestling. I had a podcast, editing is hard, but I'm on YouTube if you want to watch old stuff of that. And there's also a playlist of all the TNA post shows with myself and Joe Pearl, which I'm here every Thursday. And I'm also here on Fightful every Saturday, myself and Rick and Iridian. We go over all things TNA, AEW Collision. And you can find that playlist too on my YouTube. I don't have anything else to plug besides love yourself, love each other. You could have been anywhere on the internet, even the hub, but you were here and I appreciate you. Joe Pearl, where can the people find you?
Oh, I'm not hard to find. You can find me over on the Twitter, at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, Instagram as well. And I'm on Blue Sky at thejoelpearl.com. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's when I'm on the show over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Go over there. Myself and Jeremy Lambert will be live tomorrow. Jeremy might be a very sad individual depending on the results of the NBA playoff game tonight because he is a Thunder fan and they are currently losing. So we'll see. Hopefully he's doing okay. He also takes sports very seriously. And on top of that, I am here with Cresta every Thursday talking about TNA. Some weeks better than others, some weeks longer than others. This one of those weeks. So for Cresta, you know who I am, you know who she is. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.